For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. The Mark Reardon Show.
I am for defunding the police, and for me, it's a reallocation of funds.
It does not appear she has made any reasonable efforts to prevent the resulting chaos.
This didn't work out.
The Biden administration knows what it needs to do, and it says, well, we'll do anything except what works. It's a special kind of stupid.
God save the Queen, man.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Here we are 1 week from Election Day. And guess what I did today, Sue?
Did you vote?
I voted today.
Welcome back, by the way.
How are you? Yeah, I'm back from Houston. I will share some stories about the trip to visit my grandson and just the drive down there because, you know, it's America in 2024, but you can't find an interstate to get to Texas. Let me just say that. It's not the easiest thing to do when you're driving, and I experienced that. But the one thing that I did, I drove back on Sunday night to Texarkana, Sue. I stopped in Fort Smith and visited with Bill and Hillary on Thursday night, and then on Sunday night went to Texarkana. But I had about 4.5 hours in the car, and I listened to the entire Joe Rogan podcast with Trump.
So good.
It was very good. And by the way, I challenge anyone out there, because there's, you know, all this fascism stuff, and we're going to talk about it. Just listen to the podcast. Yep. You know, somebody put this on Twitter. Let's see. I took a screen capture of this because I thought that this was important. I said some of these same things to my friend Jeff Smith yesterday. I'm like, listen to that podcast and tell me, you know, that he's just not a guy. Now, look, there's things that he says that are certainly questionable, but this guy on Twitter says, my whole life I thought Trump was a racist, misogynistic, homophobic dictator, but 2 hours into the Joe Rogan podcast, he seems like a normal guy. I am stunned. And that's because you're stunned because all this stuff gets filtered.
Yeah.
And so when I was going back and forth with my friend Jeff Smith, who's on the other side, he said, well, yeah, I spent 2 hours watching the Madison Square Garden, you know, rally with all its, and this is what happened yesterday. So I get on the road very easily, or very early, not easily, very early in Texarkana yesterday morning. And I'm flipping around. I want to see what people are saying. I had not really paid a lot of attention to the news because I was focusing on family and football, essentially. But all I heard, and I wanted to see what was going on CNN. All I heard on CNN, and I think we have, Fred, we have an example of this, right? All the liberal pundits weighing in on this, yeah. Which is the good one when he talks about, when they talk about what happened on Sunday. Is there one that is better? I have Lib Pundit stunned. Is that it? But that's a little different, isn't it?
Try the other one right after it.
All right, hang on here. This one, I think this is the one that will be very illustrative.
It is absolutely something that is intended to and is fanning the fuel of trying to divide our country.
There's a direct parallel to a big rally that happened in the mid-1930s at Madison Square Garden.
This was a hate rally. These are mini January 6th rallies.
How did we get here?
Course.
Where a stadium of people come to hate.
Yesterday's Trump rally from hell.
Vile, racist, sexist insults dominated Donald Trump's rally at Madison Square Garden.
Dana Bash, vile, racist insults. Now, you know, when I heard that, I thought, what went on at Madison Square Garden? I mean, I know it wasn't a Billy Joel concert, but what in the hell went on? It's a Nazi rally because, of course, because the Nazis were there in 1937. If a political candidate, just Trump. If Trump shows up there, it's just the same thing as 1937.
That's correct.
That's the leap that they make. So this guy, you know, Tony Hinchcliffe, and I don't know him. He's a comedian. He was there, and I think he was one of the first speakers at Madison Square Garden. And this is what he said. And, you know, I'm not going to lie here. I don't know that the room was right for this, but I will put this into context, in the context that Dana Bash and CNN never even tried to do.
Wow, isn't this special? 17 years ago, I was sleeping in my car behind the Comedy Store in L.A., and I'm proud to say this is my fourth time performing at Madison Square Garden, the most famous arena in the damn world. The American dream alive and well right here. It is absolutely wild times. It really, really is.
So again, this guy's a comedian. Just keep that in mind when you hear the lines here. And I think there's a couple of reasons maybe they fall flat in the room, but I'll explain that in a second.
And, you know, there's a lot going on. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but there's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. Yeah. I think it's called Puerto Rico. Okay. All right. Okay. We're getting there. Again, normally I don't follow the national anthem, everybody. This isn't exactly a perfect comedy setup.
And it wasn't a perfect comedy setup. That was part of the problem. It's the Puerto Rico line that apparently got Trump into trouble. And one of the things that I love, and I've got so much compiled today, and it's hard for me to keep all this stuff straight in my little noodle, but I've been retweeting and tweeting. And one of the things that, Fred, we got to get Zig on here before this election, because, you know, he's been a very vocal, John Ziegler, my friend in California, very vocal Trump critic, but he doesn't like the Democrats. He's just not a person who's fond of Donald Trump. Now, John has claimed he's not going to vote for him when push comes to shove, and he's in California, so I don't really think it matters. But one of the things that Zig said is, memo to all those liberals who have convinced themselves that a joke about Puerto Rico's trash problem by someone not part of Trump's campaign is going to change the election. Trump himself recently trashed Detroit in Michigan. And now you have Interactive Polls, and that's a liberal polling firm out there that has Trump in the lead by a full point in Michigan. With leaners, he's up by more than a point. And in the Senate race, it's a dead heat right now with Mike Rogers and Slotkin. So, and that's a liberal polling, you know, bunch right there. But I don't think the joke worked very well in that setting. But let's put it into context. So John Stewart, who's a comedian, by the way, goes on his show, you know, because he's back, and he actually defends a little bit of this. Check it out.
The opening act, grabbing headlines for all the wrong reasons, a comedian who offered unfunny, racist, cringeworthy jokes.
Basically calling Puerto Ricans trash.
The most repulsive racial jokes about Latinos.
Disgusting and hateful.
Yeah. So incredibly crude.
Frankly, just too X-rated to play here.
Extremely vile so-called jokes.
Oh, that was Mika. They don't like comedians,
do they?
Oh,
my goodness.
But, you know, all those people you just heard there, Dana Bash and Jim Acosta, and they all... I so much want this election to go our way here in a week and just see their faces. How much fun will that be to watch CNN and watch Jennings on the set spiking the ball after this goes down next week? That is going to be a blast. It really is. But listen to Jon Stewart here, because this guy's actually pretty funny. They just don't like the tone of the jokes, or they think that they're, you know, misogynistic and bigoted and xenophobic.
Extremely vile so-called jokes. She name-checked my comedy album from the 90s. Now, obviously, in retrospect, having a roast comedian come to a political rally a week before Election Day and roasting a key voting demographic, probably not the best decision by the campaign politically. But to be fair, the guy's really just doing what he does.
And that's the most important point. So listen to the lines. I think I missed some of these at the Al Smith. We don't have the video for this, but you're going to hear people that this guy insults. And you could say it's, you know, it's not appropriate humor or whatever, because people get so offended by everything. It's kind of funny. And the people that are the targets of the joke are laughing hysterically, including Kevin Hart, etc. Check it out.
He is at the Tom Brady roast a few months ago.
The great Jeff Ross, ladies and gentlemen. Jeff is so Jewish, he only watches football for the coin toss. Gronk, you look like the Nazi that kept burning himself on the ovens. Kevin is so small that when his ancestors picked cotton, they called it deadlifting.
Yes, yes, of course. Terrible, boo, yes. there's something wrong with me. I find that guy very funny. So.
Yeah, I think he's funny, too. Now, that was, I said it was at the Al Smith dinner. That was at the roast for Tom Brady that that guy told all those jokes. So the media overreacts, and they overreact because they're so full of panic about what's happening. Now, I mentioned that I voted today, so I went to Grand Glaze. I didn't think that I was going to vote today, but I felt a little stressed and pressured, guys, because, you know, I've heard about people standing in line, and my goal was to go, you know, the day of. But then I started, Fred, I started thinking about that realistically. We're going to be here till at least midnight that night. We're doing the show. I don't even think I'm taking a break. Sarah Lamping is going to come on. We're doing full coverage. But if I'm in line for an hour or 2 hours on Tuesday morning, I don't think I'd be very happy with that. So I thought I'd get it, you know, out of the way. I showed up. Pro tip for those of you going to Grand Glaze, I cannot speak for any other polling place. And the line this morning was out the door. I'll get to the timing of it here in a second. Don't park on the street by the Schnucks or the Ace Hardware people. There's plenty of spots in the parking lot. Everybody follows the leader. They see, you know, cars on the street and like, oh, I have to park here. There's no parking. There's plenty of parking because people are leaving on a regular basis. So just drive into the parking lot. You're going to be fine. Then you get in line and maybe you are entertained by a woman in front of you like I was, because I have to just share this. So get in line and, you know, people are pretty nice. You're in the line. I heard a couple people kind of laughing about it and everything. And then I think it was a little small talk between me and a couple of the ladies behind me. And I don't know how long this is going to take, Sue. And my wife says to me, look, the line was not out the door when I voted last week. So I'm thinking, okay, so a woman comes out and she says about 70 minutes. I'm like, okay. And I'm at that point, I'm 20 minutes in. So, you know, we're pot committed. Anywhere. We're going to do it. So, you know, what do? You're in a library. We walk in the door of Grand Glaze Library. People are actually doing library things in there, right? And everyone's talking in a very low voice, and if you are talking, you're kind of whispering. But the lady in front of me decides to FaceTime her grandkids and her daughter-in-law.
Oh, no.
Now, ordinarily, I wouldn't really care, but think of it this way. Let's say that everyone in the line in a library decided to do that, and, you know, she's at full volume. She wasn't trying to hide it. That didn't even get to me. I thought it was kind of funny. I was enjoying the conversation. I had just come back from meeting my grandson. The kids were pretty cute. I was peering in on her phone. But this is what got me, okay? So this woman and I are in line for 50 minutes together, all right? We're about 10 minutes away from the line ending and voting. And she pops a mask on. She puts a mask on, a black mask, tight to her face. Definitely a Harris voter, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I mean, that. How dumb do you have to be? Honestly, let me ask some. I wanted to say something to her. Fred's actually shocked that I didn't.
I'm happy.
If I was walking out at the same time, I definitely was going to say something, because that's a special kind of mental illness, to sit in there and let everyone listen to your conversation full volume with your grandkids and your daughter-in-law, and then put a mask on as if what? What is the purpose of that? So she's an idiot. I just wanted to highlight that. And you're going to get a lot of that out there. But there's no doubt in my mind that that is not a Donald Trump voter. Let me go to Joe Rogan here just a little bit. I thought it was, you listened to it, right?
I did.
Sue? I've never listened to Joe Rogan's podcast. I've heard clips of Joe Rogan's podcast. Well, look, I don't.
You don't have time. You got a lot.
No, I have time. I don't listen to other hosts. Talk shows or podcasts. I just don't. I've never done that. I'm a talk show host. I don't want to be influenced necessarily by what other people say. But in this particular instance, I knew that people were going to talk about this, and I knew that there was going to be a lot of reaction. So I wanted to see actually what was said. Now, here's what's interesting. You guys tell me if this is the case. I have heard very little in the legacy media, the mainstream media, about the Joe Rogan podcast. And you know why?
Because it was great.
Because it was a home run for Trump.
Yes, it
was. There was nothing in there that was offensive.
Nope.
At one point, it was interesting because even Rogan flagged this. Remember when he was talking about Robert E. Lee and the Civil War?
Yep.
And then Rogan even says, look, you better be careful, though. You start talking about generals. If they're on the other side, people are going to say, see, you like the enemy, right? So he goes through, they talk about nuclear weapons. They talk about one of the things, and I didn't take the time to find this little clip. I think this is so important. Just a little thing, Sue. I don't know if you notice this. They're talking about nuclear weapons, nuclear energy as well. But on the weapons front, Iran, the Middle East, there are people out there that think the biggest threat to mankind is like 1 degree of warming over the next 100 years. When you can be, and even Trump said it, you could wipe out the entire East Coast with a nuclear weapon, right? Mm-hmm. So it's laughable that that's not given more attention.
For sure.
In the context of what we're dealing with, especially in this election, because let me tell you something, even on the left, when you look at climate change, it ain't exactly up on the top because the whole thing is nonsense.
Well, and when he talked about the fact that if we would actually drill for oil and do it in the best way possible, we could start paying down that debt. Now, a lot of us have just been thinking, well, we're screwed. Everybody's screwed. But we have the resources. We can do that. There's a plan for it that exists, but we never get to hear about it.
Yeah. Well, and they talked about, I know that you're an RFK Jr. fan. They talked about making America healthy again. I think that that's important. Rogan is extremely passionate about that. Now, in the middle of the conversation, and I like this. I didn't have any issue with it. What I would say for people who haven't heard it is you're not getting a lot of in-depth policy talk. I don't know that I expected it. Joe Rogan's just kind of having a conversation. They get into the mixed martial arts conversation. Right. Trump tends to know a lot about that, by the way.
Yeah, he does.
And Rogan, that's his world or former world. But I found that refreshing. Now, keep in mind, the goal of some of these things is to get on there. We're seeing Harris do this as well in the last couple of weeks because the numbers that she has with young men in particular are just cratering. And I said this last week. Look, it's a tough thing for someone like me who's been in media since 1981 to kind of get my arms around the impact of new media and these podcasts because younger people aren't listening to the old guy like me on the radio. I wish they were, but they're not. So this is where people are going. Now, one of the reasons that Harris, I think, they claim, Sue, I'd love your reaction on this one. They claim that she's still thinking about doing his podcast, but they want conditions on it. They wanted him to come to her. They wanted only an hour. So if they say an hour, they'll Brett Bear him, right? Yeah. They'll show up with only 40 minutes to go. She'll end up doing 20 minutes. So no, I hope that he doesn't do it. He was very careful. You know this. Yeah. He was very careful in not trying to insult her.
Yes.
Although I think it's pretty clear where Rogan, he didn't endorse Trump or anything, but it's pretty clear if you read through the lines how he feels on a lot of these issues related to the election.
Yes, agreed. He's a well-known libertarian.
Yeah. Right. But this is where I agree with Rogan on a lot of this stuff, too, because that I'm more libertarian, conservative, the social issues. Look, if we're being honest, that's Trump. He's a populist libertarian, right? He's the social issues. Everybody's talking about a national abortion ban. That's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Stop it. By the way, in Houston, and I realized this in the first 45 minutes that I was there, my son does not have like a regular television service. Most of these young people don't. But when I went back to the hotel, I flipped on a local Houston station. And I mean, every commercial is Ted Cruz, abortion, Colin Allred, back to Ted Cruz, back to abortion, same commercial in the same break. I mean, people in these states that are swing states have to be going, and Texas isn't even a swing state, but there's a big Senate race there, right? I don't know if this Colin Allred guy has any better chance than Lucas Kuntz does, in Missouri against Josh Hawley. But there were a ton of ads, so there's a lot of money that's being spent down there. So it was an interesting, way for me listening to the podcast to kind of get the feel for what that's all about and why, Trump is trying to appeal to younger men, why it's being successful at this point. I guess the easiest way to kind of break this down is almost in the way that person on the tweet explained it. Because if you listen to that and you think he is, the devil, because some people do, I don't know how you necessarily come away with that feeling after listening to that.
You can't.
Now, I'm extremely concerned. I'm going to say this, and I'm not making this up. I'm extremely concerned about some of our left-wing friends. And I have a lot of liberal friends in the entertainment business, okay? Musician friends, actor friends. Some of the actor friends are not necessarily liberal. But the musician friends, for the most part, are 99% liberal. And there's a couple of them. I have a friend in San Diego. Freddie's actually been on the show. I won't mention his name. I love him dearly. Rob's his first name. And I'm genuinely worried about him because of the Instagram, they're not tweets. Tweets are tweets. Tweets aren't even tweets anymore. The posts on Instagram, that's mainly where I follow him. And it's all about if you don't, vote against Trump, I'm coming to get you. Now, this guy is kind of a little bit of a comedian as well. But there are signs of Trump derangement syndrome that I see with him and other friends of mine. And I'm relatively concerned. I really am. You heard Mark Halperin make this prediction a couple of weeks ago on Tucker's podcast about the mental well-being of our friends on the left if something doesn't go their way. And I think that, it's hilarious that we're the ones that are the problem. We're the fascists. We're the Nazis. Well, but you think that if Trump wins this thing, who would not expect there to be some level of violence and rioting? I think people might go crazy on that.
Yeah, they're not going to enjoy that. But we are not working with the same information. I heard someone say that. Because if you watch all CNN, and if you watch all to the normal media bend, then this is all you're hearing.
Yes. And I've run out of time to bring us to Jeff Bezos. But I'm going to circle back on this because this was actually an incredible moment in media. And I don't even know if Mr. Bezos understands what he did with his letter that was in his newspaper, The Washington Post. And I don't know how many people have read it, but he essentially made a very strong case for how the legacy media has screwed everything up in this country by being so biased. Because you know why young people listen to Joe Rogan? They don't trust you, CNN.
That's
they don't
right.
trust you, CBS News. They don't trust you, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, mm-hmm. because you've proven over and over again that you lie. You maliciously lie. You never put things into context. And in fact, as Donald Trump said many years ago, the media, sadly, is the enemy of the people. And it's disgusting. And they're going to have a reckoning here in about 7 days, I think. I'm playing this because Uncle Ted's going to come on tomorrow. One last shot with Ted Nugent before the election. I'm very excited about that. It's
better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network. Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, let me tell you something, Sue. Being off the radio for several days right before an election, not my favorite thing, but family was involved, and I'll share some stories from Houston as we continue the show right before Sue's news as well. But I was just absolutely chomping at the bit to get on the air today because there's so much going on. In the next hour, we're going to visit with Rick Stream, who is one of the elections directors in St. Louis County. We'll get an update on the absentee voting. I voted this morning. My next guest here, Scott Faughn, host of This Week in Missouri, who's on his F-150 tour of the whole state, is with us, and we were talking about some voting issues. Faughn, how are you this afternoon? Good to see you.
Man, I'm great. It's great to be in studio here. It's fired up. This is the fun time right before the election, right?
So what were you relate the story about Grant's Farm and what you saw today, because I voted at St. Louis Public Library, mm-hmm. Grand Glaze, which is near, best way to put it, it's Merrimack Station, but it's 141 in Big Bend, essentially yeah. that area. There's a Schnucks over there and an Ace Hardware. It's kind of behind that. Where were you?
So I interviewed Senator Doug Beck down in his district in South County, right across the road from Grants Park. And so it's on Music Drive. It's a library. This place was unbelievably packed. And I saw your tweet, so I thought I'd pull in. Mm-hmm. Well, wrong. This parking lot had no spots.
Right, because what my advice was, and I said this on yeah. Twitter, is when I saw the cars that were parked on Merrimack Station, I'm like, okay, wait a second. So I pulled into the lot. There were plenty of spots that were in the lot. But you're saying in your case, there was not.
Now, I got a big F-150, so it's a little bit hard to maneuver. There were no spots. Cars were almost, there was a lot of tension because there were so many people vying for these parking spots. I asked a guy, and he said he'd went up and asked, and he said it was about a 2-hour wait.
So I was 70 minutes all in, and I didn't think that was
too bad.
No, it wasn't too bad. So what do you make of the early voting overall? Look, a lot of Republicans are embracing it after ripping it for many years, right?
I think Republicans made a significant error in rejecting early voting. I think, number one, don't argue with your customers. People want to early vote. I think, and I, you know, I'm a simple West Butler County hillbilly. It's not my job, I don't think, to take up for the city people, but it is wrong to make people wait 2 hours. If you got kids,
I'm with you.
And a job, you are disenfranchising people. It is not right. And I actually think, again, Republicans would argue, oh, tighten it up, make it harder to vote. I actually think the folks that don't have the time to vote, are a lot of those are Republicans. My belief is, if you have early voting, let's say you have 2 weeks of early voting, it's going to advantage the stable population, which is an older Republican. You got to be well-funded, which most Republican campaigns are, to go identify your voters And you have 2 weeks to go turn them out instead of one day.
I'm with you. From this perspective, I thought about this very issue waiting in line while I was listening to this woman's FaceTime call, because I'm thinking some people, as these lines get longer, and Fred talked about a polling place that had 2,000 people, as they get longer, people are going to say, I just can't do it. And my wife had tried a couple of different times. Two times the lines for her were a little too long. Then she found at the same location last week, it was only about a half hour in and out. So I don't know if this is going to slow down or if it's going to continue to be long lines.
I think it's incumbent upon the state and the Republican Party in this state to embrace early voting. I think it advantages them more than the Democrats. I think they were fools to fight about it. I think everybody from your show to everybody that cares about a conservative point of view being advanced in government should embrace this early
voting. I've never taken a stand against it. I've done the opposite.
But it's also got to be Josh Hawley. It's not going to change till the top of that ticket says, I want an early vote plan and I want to execute it. Then it's going to come down. The state party will get on board. I think Mike Kehoe's term as governor is going to be the term where Republicans embrace this and make it easier to vote.
Scott Faughn is here. He's the host of This Week in Missouri. He's a well-connected political type in Jeff City. He's doing what he calls the F-150 tour. I was actually just in Butler County yesterday, driving back from Houston. Quick question about Butler County. Mm-hmm. Do they have electricity and running water?
In town.
Okay, because I wasn't sure about Arkansas either. And so there's nothing down there, dude. I'm like, I was amazed. I didn't really see much in Butler County. There's a lot of trees.
Well, it's like I said, Casey and I were in traffic today on Graboid coming here, and I'm like, these poor people, I hate it for them having to live this away. Traffic, y'all have to wear a mask all the time, you shoot each other.
There's something to be said about the rural lifestyle.
There are no masks in Butler County unless you're welding or it's Halloween. Nobody shoots anybody. There's no traffic unless the cow's in the road. So it's just a different type of problem than y'all have up here.
And I understand that. So tell me about the tour, though, because you're gone to all corners of the state, right?
Here's the thing. I get in Jeff City, and you talk to the same 100 people, and your brain gets a little bubble-ish. So every year before the election, I get out, I go to a bar in every competitive area. I find talking about politics is funny. It's almost like karaoke. Like if you're in a bar, you talk a little politics. At first, they'll be like a karaoke. No, I don't want to sing. The second time, I'm in. People want to talk about politics, especially this time of year. It's a fun thing to discuss, and you get the feel for where folks are. I can tell you, just being an independent over in the Kansas City area, there's three competitive state senate seats. One of them's an independent, and I talked to the Democrat. He was in my truck, and I interviewed him. He lost 20 pounds since May, which tells me he's doing his doors. That guy's out working. You can't know that in your Jeff City bubble. You got to get out and actually go buy a beer at the bar in Independence. You got to meet these candidates in their environment, and you just get a better feel for them.
I completely agree with that. One of the reasons that I'm a big fan of, and she's become a friend, Selena Zito, because she does that. She did it in 2016. She went out, she wrote a book called The Great Revolt, but she's actually one of these rare political reporters. I think Jonathan Martin does this as well, but Selena really digs into rural areas, travels across the states, does exactly what you're talking about, goes to a bar, a restaurant, or something like that, and just talks to people.
I find it's a little taboo. You don't talk religion and politics, and I still don't talk religion, but people want to talk about politics. Now, they don't want it pushed on them, but as far as an opportunity to share their beliefs, everybody's got one or two they like to talk about, and especially this time of year, and I don't know 2 months from now they want to discuss this, but it's fine bar talk right now. And you learn where people are thinking, and you get a sense to see, like, once the Amendment 3, right? I think there's a lot of people that consider themselves pro-life, that vote for Republicans in part because they're pro-life, that are going to go vote for Republicans.
And they're going to vote yes on
vote
3.
For Amendment 3.
I think you're right about that. Now, I voted no this morning. I'm relatively sure that vote was canceled out by someone in my household who probably did everything exactly the same way as me, except for that one vote, if you know what I mean.
And
I think that's part of what you're addressing.
And if you voted 141, you probably were canceled out by many, many other folks.
I'm guessing in West St. Louis County. Faughn, hang on. We're going to have more of a conversation. Yep. We'll talk about some of these statewide races. Got to take a break, get some traffic in. We're going to continue. Don't forget Sue's News. Scott Faughn from This Week in Missouri Politics is doing his F-150 tour of the state. He's with us in the studio this afternoon. All right, let's get to some of these statewide races, et cetera, and get your thoughts on these, Faughn. I mean, it's to me, and I've been around Missouri politics since 1980, took a break in Wisconsin for about a decade, but I don't remember really a cycle where there was this little of competitive races statewide. Am I imagining that, Fawn?
Nope, totally boring.
Yeah, right.
The Republicans have won. The Democrats don't have a bench. I think, honestly, what the Democrats are doing is building a bench by running some races they know they can't win. Crystal Quaid is a tremendously talented politician. She's the person that's, you know, going to lose to Mike Kehoe, but you haven't heard the last of her. Jay Nixon ran against Jack Danforth once, and you heard his name several more times. I think Crystal Quaid's on the same track. I think they're trying to build a bench by just running some of these. Mark Osmak's actually a pretty good candidate for here in the St. Louis area, running for treasurer. Doesn't have much of a hope of winning, but I think you'll see that name again. But no, it is a very boring slate of races. Really, Lucas Kuntz is probably the most interesting Democrat, and that's just because the guy can fundraise. I'm not sure he's the right person to take on Hall.
But he's still going to lose by 10 points probably, right?
You know, I thought he'd lose by a little more than 10, but yeah, I mean, look, the guy's raised a lot of money, and I think probably this election show, Josh Hawley is very popular. No one was going to beat him, but it wouldn't kill Hawley to move back, to be back here a little bit more. It wouldn't kill Hawley to probably shop at Buckeyes, get him some normal clothes. I just think
By the way, I don't disagree with that, and I would, you know, I don't know if you know this, but they blackballed me for 4 years, Hawley has. Because I dared to...
He was your constitutional lawyer.
You think?
Yeah, what's up with that?
Let me ask you a rhetorical question. Who helped put him on the radar here in 100%. St. Louis? Thank you very much.
That's
not that. I think so, too. But I dared ask a question on January 7th or 8th about January 6th and never talked to him since. So that's just the game that they play. What am I going to do about it? It's fine. But Schmidt is a good example. Let's talk about Eric. Because there's a guy that can do exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And he's relatable, and he comes off like a real person, right?
Because he is.
Yes, exactly.
Look, I think Josh Hawley, the fact of the matter is very popular in this state.
I still voted for him.
You can't.
Don't
really
get me wrong.
If you can't get a guy to hit Josh Hawley on maybe being a little phony if Lucas Kuntz comes off a little phony. You can't bash a guy for going to an Ivy League school if you went to an Ivy League school. Yeah. You can't bash a guy for dressing weird if you dress just as weird. So I'm not sure that the contrast was there for Lucas Kuntz outside of his military record. But yeah, I think Hawley will have a good victory. And I think, though, when they do the postmortem on the first term, I think they might say, you know, coming back to Missouri a little bit more probably would be on the list of things I'd do. But, I mean, it's hard to argue with a guy that in his first term gets reelected by a 10% majority. That's pretty good.
No, absolutely. Is there anything at all? Look, a couple of races around here. And you and I were talking about this during the break a little bit. The David Gregory, Joe Peerless race in West St. Louis County. What's that Senate district number?
15.
15.
That's barn burner.
That might be the most competitive local race here. And the Amendment 3 issue plays in that race probably more than a lot.
I think if you look around the state, if you look at the polling, in rural Missouri, Amendment 3 is not popular. In the Kansas City media market, it is, but not aggressively so. But, I mean, if you really go look in the St. Louis media market, the Amendment 3 has support, and I think it's got some legs. I think those are being shown in the 15th. Andrew Koenig won it by 8-9 points 4 years ago. It is a different Chesterfield.
But I don't know this Joe Peerless guy, but he's not exactly whack job progressive, right?
Not at all.
Yeah, so that helps
you
him.
If you like Doug Beck in South County, you probably like a Joe Peerless. David Gregory could be a future star. He could be the guy, like when you, I always think of it this way. When you saw Glendale Councilman Eric Schmidt running for state Senate, you're not surprised you voted for him for United States Senate 20 years later. David Gregory has the ability to be a guy that St. Louis County can go, the business community can be their go-to guy. You need a Republican in the majority party in the state's most populous of most affluent county.
I'm going to take your word on that. He does not come. Now, I don't know him except for one interview, right? Yeah. And they don't want to do, candidly, they don't want to do an interview now because they feel like that might give ammo to Peerless. But he doesn't come off as skilled that way to me because he comes off a little phony. But in fairness, I didn't have the best first impressive of Andrew Bailey. And I thought that guy, I love him. He's become a friend. I think he's doing a great job. So my first impression was wrong.
That's a guy
that's
going to be president of the United States one day.
Well, you know, we once said that about Eric Greitens too, Fawn. So
well,
gotta be
I did
careful.
Not
I know
say
you
that,
didn't, but maybe some of us did in the room.
You look at that Bailey, that guy's a bulletproof tiger. I mean, the way he fought off the entire state of New York and all of Wall Street, won every single county. He's a war hero with a war record, but not a voting
he's
record.
He's got a great resume. Great resume.
You know, he's handsome. He's the kind of guy that'd come pick up your sister and you wouldn't feel bad about it. I tell you, Missouri has a reason to be very excited about the future with Andrew Bailey. And I'll also tell you this. I think his only problem is Mike Kehoe is going to be such a great governor.
Two-term.
I'm not sure there's going to be much.
Well, right, where does he go if he, because Schmidt and Hawley aren't going, unless, okay, here's a scenario for you. Do you think Schmidt gets offered an administration position if Trump wins?
I think he gets offered an administration position, and I don't think Eric Schmidt's dumb enough to take it.
I don't think it would be a good move politically for his future.
Right?
No, I'm with you, Fon.
Better than they went in.
Okay, but if Donald J. Trump comes and says, I want you to be my attorney general, you can't say no to that, can you?
I hope he does.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you.
I think that's very tough.
Yes.
But I as a big admirer, just an admitted fan of Eric Schmidt's and a person that believes in him, name me the person that's went into the Trump cabinet.
It's,
and come
it's
out
a bad
better.
Idea
because
he'll have
Rex Tillerson.
4 years left in this term. No, I hope. I just had to bring it up because it would
I
certainly
think he's
be
offered to that guy from Texas, the Texas Attorney General that's been in a lot of controversy. But
is that Ken Paxton?
Yeah, Paxton. Something tells me that guy gets an offer. Schmidt may be able to duck out of it, and I sure hope he does because I show me the guy that's come out better than he went into that.
No, I completely agree. So how do you feel nationally right now? I mean, this is all kind of a gut check, and my gut check is I think he's going to win. I think Trump's going to win.
My gut check is statistically based. I've watched Donald Trump in 16 and 20 poll better on every level, even state Senate polls that would poll House Trump in your district. Donald Trump has consistently polled 3 to 5 points better on election day than he did in any poll leading up to it. And to me, I look at Real Clear Politics. I think they've got a decent formula how they do. They combine some polls. If you look at where Donald Trump is today and you add a 3-point bump to that, I think he wins the race.
Well, especially when you're looking at, I never thought going in that Michigan or Wisconsin would legitimately be on the line. I think that Michigan in particular is on the line. I'm still a little suspicious about my former state, Wisconsin. But I think the auto workers and, you know, look, the other thing that's hard,
population.
It's hard to tell, right? It's very difficult to tell how African-Americans are going to relate to Trump and Harris. Because, again, as I point out, and you know this, Scott, it could just be you're not motivated to vote for Harris. You're not going to vote for Trump, but I'm not going to go out and vote for her because I don't like her for whatever reason. And certainly with African-American men and Hispanic men, we know where the polling is, but will that actually manifest itself at the ballot box? Again, in two ways. Could be they vote for, you know, Trump, or if someone doesn't vote for Harris.
I have this feeling about Trump. I remember when Obama used to bait people into saying he wasn't born in America, he was born in Kenya or whatever. I always thought there were legitimate criticisms of Barack Obama. Once you got into that, I just thought, well, you're a clown. And I thought Obama baited people into getting into those fights with him so he could just dismiss them. Trump is so good. He learned something because he was one of those Obama wasn't born here guys, probably the loudest one for a time. I think Trump does things like the Madison Square Garden rally to bait his most vociferous enemies into saying stupid things. And then all of a sudden the real criticisms, which there are real criticisms of Donald Trump, they seem invalid because you're calling him Hitler. And it's like, well, the guy was president 4 years. I didn't see any Hitler stuff. So I think Trump plays his enemies. I really believe it's so funny. The oxygen that runs the MAGA train, the coal that goes in the Trump train, is his enemies' ridiculously over-the-top criticisms of him
way
that make
over the
fair
top.
People just
Look,
think, well, you're nuts.
I'm on the road yesterday texting and messaging, probably shouldn't have been doing while I was driving, our friend Jeff Smith, former state senator, who, you know, I love Jeff, and he's on the roundtable all the time, but he is relatively completely unhinged with TDS right now, and he's going this weekend to take his daughter to a Taylor Swift concert. My suggestion was that he should let my daughter have the other ticket, and then he and I just watch football wherever this concert is. But in seriousness, one of the reasons he might be doing this.
That's a good.
Yeah, I know. But here's what I told him. You think about it, Fon. I mean, you got to think through these things. In all likelihood, if Donald Trump wins, he's probably going to, you know, bring Bruce Springsteen, Taylor Swift, you name it. It's probably going to be a firing line or something. He's just going to execute these people because he's a fascist, Scott, and that's what
he
does. Well, if you
start with the Cubs, I would support
you know,
that.
Now you know, you're thinking along the lines that I think a lot of people could appreciate. Hey, gas up that F-150.
Yes, sir.
And
always.
Thanks for swinging by 97.1 FM Talk.
Thanks
and we'll talk
me.
To you on election night. How's that sound?
Yes, sir.
See you, Fon. Thank you.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.